if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, ahoy hoy. I'm using a different mic this week, so I'm still trying to get used to the audio not topping out, so apologies if I sound terrible. But it's kind of quite fitting, because this is episode 360, and as we all know, the numbers 3, 6, and 0 are quite synonymous with hardware failures. Looking at you, Red Ring of Death, I'm Dan, this is BRB UK, hello. I've been on holiday to Woodstock this week. Absolutely nothing.
You're a bit late.
I know. I had nothing to... I know. No one was there. Although a golden toilet did get stolen. That was nothing to do with me. Anyway, joining me this week... seriously, look at it. Golden toilet.
Okay.
Got nicked.
I will look after the
Blenheim
show.
From Palace.
I'll look after the show then.
Indeed you do. So, so that one over there is Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
And that one over there is Coleman.
Hi!
And bonus alert.
Boner alert?
Well, No, that one over there is Kev.
I forgot how much absolute nonsense got spoken at the front.
I know. But can I just congratulate you for being the only one to have enough podcasting wherewithal to remain quiet until you were introduced. Timothy! Hello! So, another week, another load of games.
Yep.
The fantastically ridiculous let's release everything in the space of a couple of weeks schedule continues. It's Borderlands 3 this week. Me and Kev have been playing a bit of that, so I brought him along because he loves his Borderlands and I've only just started playing it, so he might be able to say.
I've heard such rumours.
But we'll come on to that in just a tick. Tim.
Hello.
You're a man who once went to E3.
That's true. Also true.
Yes. I thought you were just being clairvoyant there. Rather than just going rummage. Yes, still am. Fantastic. Going to say yes to that question. E3 2020!
Ooh.
E3 2020.
Sounds like the future.
What's going on with E3 2020? Have they stopped leaking out press information yet?
Well, much like my trip to Woodstock, it's going to be a disappointing festival.
Oh, no.
So it's going to turn into a fan, media, and influencer festival.
So there was some kind of behind doors presentation to go, we need to reinvent E3, people, you know, I don't think they said it quite like that. We need to reinvent E3, we need to focus
it's
less on the...
It's a big steaming pile of horse testicles.
We need to focus less on the press side of
freshly
things.
Freshly hauled monkey testes.
We need to focus less on the press side of things and focus more on the influencer side of things, because that's what gets us the likes and the clicks and what have you. So now the plan is to make it more of an interactive thing where you go to watch people play games. There are already shows that exist like this. Is it Insomnia is one of them? And there's a few different ones where you go and watch Twitch streamers and stuff, and there's less focus on you finding out new exclusive for games and more focus on the kind of internet celebrity there. And if you like those, that's great. But as someone who's always wanted to go to E3, even when they've opened it up to the public, this makes me never want to go to E3.
I mean, you can just tell it's... Oh, God, some of the things that have leaked. Okay, and I'll do some little quotes here. So, stuff that came out of that, no doubt, idea shower rather than a brainstorm. Hey, we could get members of the LA Lakers playing a basketball video game in front of fans. Or actors could compete against one another in a tournament.
Fortnite, I bet.
I know, and what we can do is, hold this thought, all right, okay, how's this for blue sky thinking? We're going to harness the power of social good, but by harness, I mean exploiting millennial and Generation Z propensity for giving back. It's basically, it just sounds just awful.
They were already doing the celebrity thing, because Activision will turn up and go, hey, here's the new Call of Duty. Anyway, Zac Efron and Jamie Foxx are going to play it after the show. Come watch.
Yeah, it was like, and Wiz Khalifa brought all the weed, and then they were all just like, yo, where's Khalifa?
Yeah, so it's going to be more of that.
Hey, but that's not all, Coleman.
Go on, then.
There's also going to be experience hubs.
You sound like a PR person's throwing up in my ears.
I know. Experience hubs, which thankfully have got nothing to do with Randy Pitchford, are going to be... too soon? Too soon. Maybe too soon. I don't know. Have exclusive
maybe not
slash
soon enough. Anyway.
Appointment-only activations, activities, I think, for select attendees who have got two powers. Do you want to know what their two powers are, Coleman?
Oh, go on, then.
Not only buzz, but also FOMO.
Remind me what that stands for again.
Fear of missing ostriches.
Filleting orange monkey over.
If an ostrich is coming, you don't want to miss it, because then be some tasty birds, according to the Giant Bomb
Do
podcast recently.
Do not miss out on ostrich.
No.
As someone who once got chased by an ostrich, I haven't missed it since.
I was chased by a badger once. We should talk after the show.
So much I hate to move us away from this particular topic, which is allowing this podcast to sink to new depths.
This week on What Have You Been Chased By?
I was chased by a Canadian swan this week.
Ooh, there you go. Tim, have you got one?
I can't remember ever recently being chased by an animal.
Tim is the manliest of the men.
Animals like me. What can I say?
Right, what do you do to these animals?
Anyway...
fondness of molesting ostriches. That's what Tim does.
There we go. This all sounds terrible. And the idea
Tim's
is
Tim's proclivity for fondling ostriches. He's an ostrich troubler.
Outside of that, let's talk about the E3 festival for 2020.
Right.
If this goes ahead and turning it into more of a fan event, I mean, it kind of makes sense because it's a press event that you've then turned into a fan event, and it's not working when you're sharing the two because... I mean, it just doesn't work with this venue the way you have this set up, which they're now trying to take the West Hall and make these weird experience hubs, which Dan spoke about, which looks really weird. It kind of looks like the way that Thor explains the universes in Thor 1 when he's doing the tree. It's kind of drawn out a bit like that as well.
Yggdrasil, please.
Is it all on the back of a massive turtle speeding it down Rainbow Road? Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly that.
E3 as designed by Terry
Pratchett. The whole plan is bring in more people, bring in more fans, make more money. As well as that, they're going to give out... they're trying to give out 10,000 extra gamer badges for you to go and play the
games. Gamer badges?
Gamer badges, which will chase the people.
Gamer badges.
No. So that...
They'll chase you.
Are they going to chase people into the venue? Yeah, and they're going to chase people into the venue from the much cooler stuff that's happening in the car park surrounding the convention centre.
But, like, E3 gets so many less people than, like, a lot of other conventions already, you know? Like, they've got a long way to go if they want to catch up with, like, public attendance of the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, this and it's a much smaller venue as well in comparison to Gamescom as well. So E3 this year drew in 66,000 people. Gamescom drew in 373,000 people because they can hold that many people, and also sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah.
But yes.
The idea is bring in more people, but then they've already, you know, in this presentation, it goes as far to say that not everyone will be able to play the games because there will be too many people in there. They won't be able to queue up and all get to play something. So they've brought in the idea of queue entertainment, as they've called it.
Oh, God. Which, that word hurts me every time I hear it.
Yeah, which is something that Disney do quite well in a lot of stuff. It's the idea of while you're queuing up, they add in little puzzles or things to entertain you, story beats to keep you entertained, or give you some backstory into the ride that you're going to be doing. I don't see how that's going to work for E3. What they're going to
What troubles me, though, it sounds all nice and fluffy about Q-tainment, blah, 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 blah. But then it goes on to say, they're a captive audience as they wait in line for demos. We can do things to them, basically, is what it sounds like.
Oh, that's why Randy Pitchford's going to be doing magic tricks for anyone in the queue.
Oh, God.
But look, put some of that into context. This was an internal presentation to the people that they're trying to, like, pitch this to as an idea to, like, sell them on the idea so that they can get on board and bring some of that to the equation, basically.
The technical term is wankers talking to wankers.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's the one.
Yep.
But it's very much, you know, a salesperson's pitch to other salespersons. It was never really intended for the public's ears, though, kind of thing.
It's also no secret that E3 has been in desperate need of transformation over the last few years.
Yeah.
Like, virtually none of the publishers are actually attending it, like, the show proper anymore.
However, they'll do their own things. This is probably not the way to do it.
Possibly not. I mean, this could be a first draft. It's a weird thing. I do find it quite coincidental, shall we say, that they're trying to drive for more money to come in, right as their legal fees have probably gone through the roof.
Oh, yeah. There's big old class action pending on the horizon. I think we'll just leave it with this. Like, first draft sounds like a terrible idea, but as in the spirit of there is the plan of bringing in celebrities to play video games, I think we all need a celebrity to play a video game, starting with Dan, because he's going to have a brilliant one.
Okay, Slaughterhouse, ooh. And it's Sir Ian McKellen.
Okay, I like it.
Tim.
Okay, well, I'll continue with the theme. Until Dawn and Patrick Stewart.
Oh, that was okay. A cop-out, Timothy.
But then you could have them... I mean, you could have them on stage together to do a third game.
I'll update that to Man of Medan, where they could both play together.
No, Tim! Me, Dad, you, Tim.
Go on, Kev.
I haven't got one.
What
honestly.
You bloody well have?
Come on, Kev. Anything.
Come on, Kev.
Celebrity pairing.
The weird thing to me is that they're going on about celebrities playing games when... Wouldn't it be more popular if they got sort of the high-level Twitch streamers to come in and play games?
They know they're going to have to pay them a load of money anyways, and maybe they want to go more mainstream kind of thing.
Ninja will be there to play whatever Microsoft's offering.
Kev, I'm going to give you a name of a celebrity to get you halfway there.
Okay.
Beyonce.
I don't even know. I'm trying to think of something funny in my head.
Overcooked.
There's not really. I just got so little interest in watching a celebrity who has no interest in games play a game.
I'll do this for you. Beyonce, Leisure Suit Larry.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll watch that. I'll have Wolf from Gladiator playing.
Oh, nice.
Playing Bloody Raw.
Okay.
Yeah, why nice. Not?
Excellent. All right.
So there we go. If they can make that happen, I will attend.
Can I have the Pope play Mortal Kombat 11?
Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. He's done it. He's back. He's back. Kev's back. I've alerted the press. He's officially back, is Kev.
Yeah.
Okay. So E3 being one complete utter shit show to the other utter shit show, let's talk about EA. And let's talk about BioWare. And let's talk about Anthem.
To be fair, it's been a while since I've done an Anthem update. Because even I lost any form of... You know, I felt like I was kicking something when it was down. I'm not going to lie.
But Dan, so we're going to be talking about Anthem. We're going to be talking about problems of Anthem in a moment. But before we do, as has now become tradition, as you're about to talk about Anthem, how much, in your honest opinion, is Anthem worth right now, Dan?
Right now?
Yep.
Name the currency.
Pounds.
a whole pound sterling.
Or sticks.
Pounds.
Okay, sticks.
Bits of stick you found in the woods.
Bits of stick, which are arguably worth more than the Great British Pound at this moment in time. Right, so I think it's going to be worth £2.38.
There you go. I mean, it's been put in the lower section of EA Access now, so it's probably about that.
Which is, what, £5 a month or something?
Yeah,
£2.49 right out, yeah?
Yeah, or one third of a stick.
Okay. So if you, in your local supermarket, and you see Anthem for, what was that, £2.39?
I mean, first of all, they're going to ask me, Dan, why are you coming in here trying to trade us sticks for objects?
Oh, you want Anthem, fair enough.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know, give me Nectar Points. I brought you a stick. Right, what's going on with Anthem, Dan?
Not a lot.
So they tried to reinvigorate it, and to be fair, it does sound like they gave it a moderately decent go with this kind of time-limited event called a Cataclysm.
So this is the post-launch content, the roadmap.
Cataclysm!
This is the raid equivalent that was supposed to turn up 4 weeks after launch.
Let me stop you there, Kev. No. So they promised a lot of stuff like three acts of, you know, ongoing narrative and on the game's universe and all kinds of world-changing events that were going to happen regularly. Turns out that world-changing event was just, it's going to rain a bit. So, I mean, to be fair, it sounds like they have tried to incorporate in Cataclysm like a raid light mode with some very basic mechanics and some loot that actually is moderately fun. However, it remains too little, too late.
To be fair, if it rains in London and you use public transport, that is life changing.
Well, it's also a cataclysm as well. I think
exactly both of those.
Yes,
apocalyptic.
I mean, Ben Irving, who was Anthem's lead producer, has up sticks and left for a new opportunity.
How many sticks?
He only got a sixth of a stick.
Sixth of a stick.
Six of a stick. But however, that was when you know, the stick was a particularly strong international economy, international currency rather. It's positioned as weaken. It's positioned as weaken because people have discovered that leaves more fun. And stick is just the foreplay before all the juicy leaf action.
See, when you explain the nonsense that I've said, I always regret butting in because it goes on for far too long.
It's like a game of bullshit chicken, isn't it? With us where it's just going to be who's going to tap out first as it gets more and more bizarre.
Bringing it back to the point, there has been a lot of BioWare like senior people left recently as well, and that's in light of that being the case previously and some people coming back. Like, I think Aaron Flynn came back and he's gone again. And
I mean I'm not gonna lie, I'm not sure BioWare are gonna recover from this.
Do you remember when EA bought BioWare and a few of us were there like, I'm not sure how this is gonna go?
I remember a lot of people online basically going, this is a terrible idea, why did you do this? And not since, I mean, the BioWare thing happened, but then again with, what's the Titanfall developers?
Respawn.
Yeah, when that happened to Respawn as well, people were basically screaming about the same thing. So it gets me worried for Respawn's future as well.
Yeah, so just to put this into a bit of perspective about how behind they are with their promised post-launch content schedule. The first act was promised for March this year.
That's past.
Can I stop you there a second?
I'm really struggling to remember when Anthem came out because it feels like 5 years ago.
January or February, I think.
Was it this year?
Yes.
That's mental. I actually can't imagine it being this year.
Yeah. So basically all it came down to was that The head of life service, a guy called Chad Robertson.
Hi, I'm Chad Robinson. Would you like a stick?
Exactly. He's announced the decision that plans for more post-launch content and Anthem have been put on ice. Nothing to do with Frostbite. The engine it runs on, so very funny.
It's very good.
So they can focus on updates and review core issues. So although he's promised to be transparent with fans about what's coming down the pipeline, spoiler alert, sticks, and giant boluses of turd.
We're getting rid of the javelins, now you're all getting sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, a javelin is just a fancy stick in its original form.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go. So it's all coming together, isn't it, Colin?
The big javelin's now called a log.
Yeah. So they're going to be, you know, although they're going to be transparent, basically non-sure of it is, this announcement is that I don't have any news to share with you today about long-term changes we're bringing to it. My guess is that Anthem is going to be shut down. It's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to, it's certainly not going to get
put out to pasture.
And I think it's such a shame because I think, Kev, me and you were really, 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 really wanting this game to be great.
God, we gave it a good go as well. There was about a week and a half there where we absolutely rinsed it and we were like, I can see good things here.
And the world it exists in is, you know, it could be such a great environment for a wonderful sci-fi game, kind of an action-adventure sci-fi game, to take place, but somehow they've just managed to cock it all up.
Yeah. The core loop was great. Just get with your friends, Everyone jetpacks off,
yeah,
goes and kills stuff, grab your loot, go and kill more powerful stuff. They had the formula in place, but it was the variables in that formula that they absolutely couldn't.
They clearly needed more development time.
They needed more planning time before they even hit development.
Possibly a bit more planning throughout the project, but also in the state it was in, they needed more time to develop a finished package.
The BioWare magic wasn't there.
They needed better direction.
Yeah. They needed a better product on paper before they started turning that into a game. And I think what they had was the bare minimum thing on paper. And then they were like, right, let's just get making it. And then hopefully it all falls into place.
On paper, it sounds like a decent product that you could push to either me or Dan. They go, hey, you like Destiny? What if Iron Man? Sold. The biggest downfall for me was that they did the alpha and the beta. And they made it public, and I played it before I bought the game, which made me go, maybe I'm not buying this game right off the release. So that was the only way they didn't get money out of me.
Well, I think both me and Kevin, they'll be able to fix it. They'll be able to fix it. It'll be fine. They've got absolutely no insight into what might make this game good.
It's just a little buggy.
Well, they had
a roadmap
in place day one, which is something that Destiny certainly didn't have when that first came out in 2014.
I did, but it was behind closed doors.
Yeah. But that made me think, all right, well, they've got a roadmap. At the very least, we can get a little bit of time here, and then they'll gradually start knocking things out because they've said it, they will. And then it took, 2 weeks before they were like, oh, this roadmap's binned. Here's our new one. It starts in 6 months' time.
But you can't buy a game based on a roadmap, basically.
Well, a lot of people did. I know,
but that just goes to prove you cannot do that. You cannot look at their roadmap and go, well, that's something that should, affect my purchasing
decision. I think what they benefited from, actually, was Bungie turning things around a bit with Destiny 2, and people thought, well, actually, if there's a roadmap, there could be something that's worth spending my time and money in.
Yeah.
But no.
The problem with roadmaps is they are promises, and it's very difficult to get any credibility after you've broken a promise. To Bungie's credit, every one of their roadmaps they have stuck to near as damn it, and occasionally they've fallen a bit short of what they wanted it to be ideally, but they stuck to it. They hit those dates.
And where they've had to, they've been very public in eating humble pie as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's all credit to them. Whereas BioWare, they did eat their humble pie, but that roadmap was just, they cancelled it, essentially. And there's a lot of people that will have gone, and this is where I disagree with Tim a bit. I think if they do put out a roadmap and say, this is what we're going to do, you should be able to base your buying decision off of that, because the publisher has said it's going to happen. When they break that promise, then obviously that's where the fault lies.
Yeah, and going on from that, do you think there will be a repercussion for this? Will there be people that have picked up Anthem based on, if someone went along the lines of myself, I played the demo, I kind of liked it, it has problems, but they've put out this big content pack, everything's going to be fine in the end. Do you think there's going to be some kind of lawsuit on this?
Well, the game was released in America, so therefore, yes, I'm almost certain there will be a class action lawsuit about it.
Yeah, I mean, the precedent is there, I don't know how far it'll get. To be honest,
Donald Trump's suing as well.
Yeah. I really hope that EA give them the green light to start again with an Anthem 2 or something. I don't actually think it'll happen, but there's a part of me that really wants them to learn from this mistake and take it forward, much in the way that Destiny to Destiny 2 did, where they got to sort of start afresh.
Even though I didn't want to invest, I didn't actually invest in the game, I wanted it to be a good game. I wanted it to be a game that I wanted to buy, and it just never... I didn't see, have faith going in, and then everything I heard from you guys was like, okay, well, I'll jump in at the point where it seems might be worth it, and that's never come, so...
Yeah, I've got some free EA access that's been storing up that I might just jump in and go, I'm going to give this a little go before it gets cancelled.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
It has been kicked down to a lower level of access as well, no?
So does this outright get taken down, and do you think this affects BioWare for Dragon Age 3, or are they going to be, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Sorry, Dragon Age 4 now, I guess it is, isn't it?
They put out a statement, BioWare, on all of their current projects about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned on Twitter at the time that Dragon Age 4 was very notably missing from their long list of things that they're working on. Unless they're saving that for a last-minute reveal, and then it comes out on new platforms next year, I don't think they're doing very well with Dragon Age 4. I want to be proven wrong, don't get me wrong, but I love Dragon Age games, but you know, it's difficult to put your faith in BioWare at the moment. Between Mass Effect Andromeda and Anthem.
And I think that blame can be solely laid upon EA. I don't care if you ban me again for another week. I'm gonna keep on slagging off EA and stop peddling your gambling towards children, EA. All right, let's move on.
All right, good. Marvellous. I'm glad you got that out of your system. Choco. So points of interest, I suppose. I've got points that need interest. And quick roll call for those of us who are idiotic enough to place a pre-order down on Google Stadia. Tim, me and you, that is. Any sign of that reserve your username nonsense yet?
No,
for you? Good, me neither.
I don't know, I'm getting ever closer to this going, you know what? No.
Yeah, a little bit.
Possibly cancel. Especially when I was like, I could just buy for less money than I'm paying on this, I realize I could buy a mini Sega Mega Drive thing. I could buy one of those if I fancy.
Ooh, they look
or
good.
Or I could just buy a Playdate thing.
Have
self-respect. I think the other one's handheld as well, mate. Yeah.
Well, you guys will be happy to know that because of the dwindling stock of the pre-orders of the Google Stadia Founders Edition, they have announced a Google Stadia Premiere Edition.
Good.
Because I say the stock of Founders Editions is now at an all-time low and almost run out. By the way, it's still available in the UK. It hasn't even nearly sold out in the UK on the pre-orders. So this edition will now include Chromecast Ultra, 3-month Stadia Pro subscription,
right,
and a Stadia clearly white controller. So basically, instead of blue, it's white. You don't get the buddy pass to give to your friend to give them 3 months of Stadia Pro, and you don't get the right to reserve your username
or Destiny Shadowkeep, presumably.
They didn't say that in the statement. I'm going to have to look in at that at a later time, but presumably not. Although Destiny Shadowkeep is still, well, it's not just Destiny Shadowkeep, it's Destiny 2 and all its expansions, but that's still splattered all over the Google Stadia front page, so maybe I'm not 100% right now.
Here's a reason why I might, because
you get to play Destiny on yet another platform?
Well, true, yes.
It's not a different platform.
Originally it was going to be, well, that might be a good middle ground where me and a number of my mates who haven't picked it up on PC or don't game on a PC, that might be a way to actually go and play the game with them. But it turns out that now they've done the cross-save thing, can confirm I've loaded up my PC Guardians on a PS4, everything is present and correct, with all of the Forsaken Annual Pass content going free as of yesterday, and the fact that although you have to buy Shadowkeep on each platform, you only have to buy the seasons once. So if you have a season pass on PC, you will have access to those seasons on PS4 and
that's
Xbox
good.
And Stadia. Makes me just think, do you know what? You know, you still have to buy Shadowkeep on each one, but I thought, do you know what? If I actually want to play with my mates, it's largely going to be PC or PS4, and I'm not really sure that Stadia is going to scratch that itch of being like the middle ground of platforms to play on, especially when crossplay is likely to be much more of a thing in the next console.
Is that
generation.
Way we can play together again?
We Coleman, we've always been able to play together.
Yay! I heard complaints that when people moved their cross saves over, they lost all their silver. Did you have any issue with that?
No, silver's tied to the platform on which you bought it.
Of course. Okay. Anywho, Google Stadia, there's another version for the not sold out other version. There you go. Have at it with less stuff for the same price.
Really?
Amazing.
Yeah, £129, I think it is.
30 sticks out of sticks.
that sticks out sticks.
Are they literally trying to sell off the ones they've got by going, if you don't buy it now, there'll be a worse deal coming up?
We're
going
to spray paint them white and take stuff out. Okay.
Yeah, five out of seven would buy again.
We've got a few other points of interest. I'm going to rattle through them pretty damn quickly just to get them out the way. Bandai Namco, we know them. We like them. They have one of their trademarks has leaked out this week, and it's for more Encore editions, which they've done in the past for a couple of their games. These ones include the likes of Mr. Driller, Colonia, hey. Splatterhouse, Genpai Tuma Den, and Wagyan Lands. I think. Yeah, but anyway, those are re-releases. You'll probably see them coming in the future. I don't know if all of them will be UK-bound, if that's the case, but there you go. Bandai Namco Encore Editions. PC players Dan and Kev.
Hello.
Do you have enough game launches?
No, yeah. I need more.
Would you like more game launches, I hear you say?
More, yes.
Well, Rockstar Games, they've got your back, my friends. Rockstar, they've launched a new game launcher this week in their PC hub, and it has a store which lets you buy, you know, all their previous games apart from Red Dead Redemption 2, because that's still not available on the PC. You can get the likes of Bully Scholarship Edition, LA Noir, and a bunch of the old Grand Theft Auto games. And if you download the launcher, you get a free copy of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Brilliant.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, but all of those are available on Steam, are they not?
That is correct, at the present time.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to look into this beforehand as well. I don't know if you bought it on Steam, you can load it up in the launcher or not. I don't know if they're going to tie the launcher into Steam like Uplay or anything like that at all. The current theory is that these games that are available on all platforms, this could be gearing up for a big Red Dead Redemption 2 launch for PC that is exclusive to their launcher.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, me too. But speaking of Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Online is something that I had a quick go on, had a little bit of fun with. There wasn't a lot there. Thought I'd wait. There's been a big update this week. They've added loads of new stuff in, careers, and you can go out and be a hunter or an outlaw and all these kind of things. And they've given these really cool stories and things to go along with it. I've said things a lot of times there, so I'll try to stop doing that again. And this week, people have noticed that, hey, with that last patch, there's a Swamplands that has now filled up with dead bodies, and there are zombies walking around. So the common theory is that Red Dead Online is going to get an October update for the Undead Nightmare, which was a brilliant bit of expansion on Red Dead Redemption. Well, actually, no, it was an expand alone. You could play it on its own. The original Red Dead Redemption.
Did you just coin a phrase, expand alone?
I coined it a while ago, mate. Coined
it, yeah.
Do I just not pay that amount of attention?
Yes.
I think I've only ever used it on Barrelcast, actually, to be fair. but Red Dead Redemption on Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare was a brilliant version where they took all the assets of the previous game, added zombies, and the the four horses of the apocalypse, not horsemen, Bigfoot, and a bunch of other random stuff, and then made it like a really campy B-movie plot about a zombie invasion in Red Dead Redemption, which was absolutely genius and just corny, played up for laughs. If they're doing something along that lines in Red Dead Online, you sold. I'm well into that. It's a fun game already. I'll add in Undead Nightmare and I'm all in.
Jolly good. Well, I reckon it'll be Undead Nightmare PC release. That's what they're, I think, lining up for.
You reckon?
I think so.
I've heard theories that, because Red Dead Redemption never came out on the PC.
Correct.
And without spoiling Red Dead Redemption 2, there are things in that game that happens that could insinuate, hey, you could quite easily, I mean easily with big quotation marks here, recreate Red Dead Redemption in engine with new shiny assets and then release that on PC to be its PC version. But I don't know.
I don't.
Who knows? We'll see. Anyway, there was a new game announced this week. There's the... There's a new Terminator game.
Is this because he's now out of work following the closure of PPI claims? and is looking for something else to do.
Do it now.
Do it now.
You didn't do it. Okay. I guess nothing happened. I'm off to sleep with my maid now as a disembodied head. If you're not in the UK and you don't know what these adverts are, sorry, you're not going to get any of this. Anyway, there's a new Terminator movie coming out. We know about that. They're really laying on the video game tie-ins because Terminators have appeared in Mortal Kombat. Terminators are appearing in Gears of War 5. And now there is a new Terminator video game coming out in November, which is going to be a first-person shooter set 30 years after the Judgment Day apocalypse. That's Terminator 2, if you don't realize. So that's going to be coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 15th of November in Europe and Australia. And then in North America, that's going to be releasing on December the 3rd. That is by Taeon and Reef Entertainment.
Screenshots of this did make me think that, like, oh yeah, I remember when there was that arcade of the Terminator back in the day, and I kind of wished that they'd made a first-person shooter of that.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day Arcade Edition.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Was that the one that was a bit Operation Wolf-like?
Yes.
Exactly that.
Ever since that game, yeah, I kind of wanted them to do a like full-on first-person shooter in Terminator universe in this kind of era as well. Like, and it hasn't been done, so yeah, I kind of hope it's good.
There's a pre-render trailer out if you're interested. I think I'll wait till I see more gameplay stuff before dropping down money, because I don't know if you guys notice, outside of arcades, Terminator's not really been a great license for video games.
No, hasn't been great.
It should be,
although the Terminator showing up in Mortal Kombat could be all right.
Yeah, but
there was a Mega Drive game that was really good,
and there was a Game Boy game that was all right. Memory serves.
See, I missed these. I played Terminator and Terminator 2 on the Amiga, so I probably just didn't have the best luck with console systems.
Yeah.
And lastly, on the points of interest this week, we have a new State of Play stream coming from Sony. That is going to be on the 24th of September, 9 o'clock in the evening in the UK.
Do you reckon that's going to shed any light onto what the heck Death Stranding is, other than a Strand game?
I think there's...
Have you not watched the hour-long gameplay?
45 minutes.
I did watch it. I'm actually more confused than I was going in.
You guys...
It made me a hell of a lot less time to buy it.
Did you guys watch the Tokyo Game Show version where it was all in Japanese?
No, I watched the Giant Bomb version.
I was going to say, because they did a Tokyo Game Show version and so many outlets were going, it's a really good video, ignore that it's Japanese, you'll get around it, it's fine. And then less than a week later, they released it in English.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then they translated it. It's like, so what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to balance things in your backpack and
Jeff Gerstmann had the best comment of all time where he's like, so are we basically grinding in Tony Hawk for an entire game?
And you got to balance, you don't want to fall over, go too much left, too much to the right.
How balance works.
It
was inventory management fetch quest the game, basically. And I'm like, I don't know about you, I don't want to knock it too much until people have got actual hands-on with it.
Another question.
It's a bit crazy, but it might work, but it looked not something I don't want to play.
Why have I got a fully rubber-masked up gimp as a butler as well? I don't get it.
I'm actually still excited for this game, and now I really want to just put loads of stuff on one side of Norman Reedus and watch him tumble down a hill so I have to play harmonica to my baby shell or whatever the hell's going on in that game before I pee on a mushroom.
I'm calling
I'm interested to see what happens.
I think it's going to be a game that I'm going to watch from a...
I'm waiting a good... I'll wait for the reviews, and then I'm waiting about another 2 weeks on top of that.
I may jump on board at some point.
Is it out in time for Extra Life?
No, it's November.
Ah, that's a shame, because that would have been a great game to try it to, whilst raising money for charity, just try and work out what the living heck is going on with that game.
Oh, please, we'll be 24 hours of bloody death. No room for other games.
I will say, at the end of the points of interest, we did say last week that we're going to do some Tokyo Game Show stuff. Unfortunately, that was it. It was Death Stranding.
Yeah, there wasn't very much.
Yeah, most of Tokyo Game Show seem to be updates on stuff that we already know about, and that Resident Evil game that you guys spoke about last week getting announced. That's pretty much it.
But just going back to the state of play thing you were talking about, the one thing I'm actually hoping about that we'll hear about...
Is it PlayStation VR? Play,
no. Ghost of Tsushima.
Don't. What?
Ghost of Tsushima. They haven't talked about it for ages. I was really looking forward to that game.
No, I yeah, think they I'd keep really that like calm till next year.
I think they may be going, let's keep that one for next gen. But yeah, I'm hoping that they don't, well. And I'm hoping we'll hear about it. So that's the one I've got my fingers crossed for, but we'll see.
Well, I think, yeah, I think State of Play is just going to be, it's going to be more of Death Stranding. I think it's going to be more of Final Fantasy VII, and then some smaller games that are also coming out. We'll probably see the Terminator game. We'll probably see some more PlayStation VR titles, and then maybe some DLC stuff. They seem to like throwing things at Mortal Kombat on there randomly, so they'll probably go, here's another look at the Mortal Kombat DLC, here's the next character out. Oh, look, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yay! His fatality.
I bet
they'll
have a trailer for whatever
maid.
The new...
Ooh.
Second time you've used that joke this show, Carmen.
I use it at least 20 times a day.
Yeah, good. As he does his maid.
No!
So anyway, because time is ticking, we probably ought to just go over what we've done played. I promise you, rambling about Gears 5, but I actually haven't had the opportunity to play that much more Gears 5 because I've been in Woodstock stealing golden toilets.
Can I do Ghost Recon before we let you guys jump into Borderlands?
Yes. Yep.
Cool. So I've been playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint on a closed beta.
I am interested in this as well.
Yeah, they gave me 3 days to play. And the reason I was interested in... Wildlands, they did a big alpha and a beta for that. I was in both of those. It was horribly broken each time. Still very entertaining in all the wrong ways. And then the game came out. I left it for ages, picked it up on the cheap, and it became a super entertaining, really well-made game. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, because I'm so really into Wildlands, I thought, you know what? Breakpoint, I'm all in. Give me some really knocked off what's-his-face from Walking Dead. Let's do this. It's really badly broken on beta. It's probably going to be broken on release too. So while playing the game, I had an issue. First of all, me and my girlfriend were trying to play this together and had big problems connecting.
Sorry to hear that. You know, there are people you can go and talk to together.
To the game, you know what I meant. So there was a big issue with when the game begins as you're in a big helicopter crash and you're injured and you have to heal yourself. That option to heal yourself never appeared for me, but appeared for my girlfriend. So she's wandering off ahead and I'm like, how are you moving so fast? And my guy's just limping around and I just couldn't heal myself anymore. Then I got shot. Then I respawned and at this point, my character's running around like he's holding a gun, but has no gun, won't pick up any guns.
Oh, please tell me he's running around, but is making pew, pew, pew noises.
No. He's holding the gun. He's got his trigger finger out, like he's ready to pull the trigger. He's aiming and pulling the trigger, but nothing's happening. I was making pew sounds. And there was a point where we finally could connect, but my character with no gun, she has a gun, I have no gun. We found a truck, and the truck had a machine gun mounted to the back of it. So I thought, I know, if I can't pick up a gun, I'll just take this. Anyone I shoot with the gun, their health did not go down one single millimeter. They just laughed at me while they shot me in the back of the van. And this happened for a little while. I ended up having to completely restart the game all over again. Had a bit more fun the second time round, but boy, that is a shonky beta. And I'm so glad it's only a beta because that means they're not releasing it for... Oh, no, wait, no, it's out in like a month.
Yeah, it's not really. It's a whole thing where it's not actually really a beta.
Yeah. The interesting thing is they've tried to steer it away from... I think the last game they got sued by like the government of Colombia for making Colombia look like a real hellhole of drugs and criminals. And this time they went, we've got a fictional island that's owned by a tech company, evil tech company, and they have their own private army, which has the fella from The Walking Dead who's always peed off when he's in stuff, being peed off because he's in this.
It's called Holumbia.
The beta's not great, but I guarantee the game will come out. They'll patch the holy hell out of it. Give it like 6 months. Buy it on the cheap. It will be the best thing you've played.
All right, fair enough.
Probably. Guarantee. John Bernthal, that's his name. Bloody hell.
Jesus.
But yeah, so far I can summarise the plot as I'm John Bernthal, I'm off.
Jolly good.
That's every one of his roles, apart from Wolf of Wall Street.
Right, Gears 5. I haven't played much more of it since last time I spoke about that one. I know that Kev's finished it, and you've put a lot of time into it, Coleman. I'm probably most of the way through the kind of the first act of it, I would say, okay, in terms of like three-act play.
Have you switched characters?
Only just.
Okay, so you're really early.
So you're in act 2.
All right, so I'll be in act 2.
Four.
There we go.
Out of
it's still feeling like some Gears Ask Gears in many ways.
You haven't got far enough for it to properly evolve into what it's
become yet,
I would say.
There is no wakeboarding, snowboarding, all kinds of boarding all mixed into one for you yet.
Right.
Kev, go on. What are your impressions?
No, where does the boarding come into it? Because I've seen people talking about it and don't understand how that's part of the equation now.
So there's in Act 2 and Act 3, they're both sort of quasi-open world. And you get a skiff to zoom around on, which, for some reason, the person piloting the skiff is on a board section that also acts as like a rudder. So it moves left and right as you turn. And then the other guy's sat in the front. The whole skiff thing's very weird. We can come back to that in a minute, actually. what is it you wanted to know, Dan? I've forgotten what the question was.
Does it elevate itself from just being more Gears?
Oh, right. Is it just Gears? So, for me, the whole inclusion of the Jack skill tree really changed up the way that I played that game in a massive way.
Jack is the robot,
point where
right?
There's like, yes, and if you're playing single player, you have control of him, so you can like every time one of his two ability, he has like a passive ability, not passive, a sort of support ability and an offense ability, and depending on which one you equip, you can modify them in different ways by upgrading them, and each one has like an ultimate version. I'll just say what my absolute favourite one is straight out, which is just the opposite of every single Gears encounter you've had in any game up to this point. There's a stealth one where he can cloak you, and typically that only lasts for a few seconds when you first get it, but then you can modify it, so you can add a mod that says, all right, well now the ultimate is actually I can kill as many people as I want and it won't uncloak me, whereas ordinarily the second you take a shot it would automatically uncloak you, so you go, all right, so I can go into cloak, kill people, they can't see me, and then come out. Then you get another mod that says, all right, for every kill you get, it adds time back onto your cloak. So it became possible for certain encounters where I could cloak myself, run in and just like sneak attack 5 or 6 guys before the encounter even starts. Sometimes you could evade an entire encounter just by running in stealth.
Nice.
And just laying waste to everyone. If you sprint from enemy to enemy, you're just like the chain lightning of knife death. It's really cool. He's got tons of other abilities. There's one that it's like a flash grenade, but you can add a mod to that that freezes people. So if they've got a hell of a lot of health, like one of the larger enemies, you can actually convert that to sort of a freeze health instead, so you know they shatter after a certain amount of bullets, so that's a quicker way to deal with those. There's just tons of things. There's environmental things. There's Dan, the act you're in, act 2, is like the ice biome, and there are areas of that where they just throw enemies at you constantly, and if you've got your wits about you and you realize what your environment is around you, you can shoot the ice underneath the enemies and they just fall into the ice and it freezes back over them and they're dead. And like, that's not something they ever explain to you, but it's just between the Jack skills and the new environmental stuff that is very specific to each act, or to each biome, I suppose. It's just an evolution of the Gears gameplay that is. It came as a massive welcome to me. I love it. It's my favorite game of the year so far.
That's some high praise.
Yeah. To get in preparation for this, because I played a bit of Gears 4 with Tim. When that first came out, and we got a little bit into it, and then we kind of gave up because I don't know about you, Tim. I found it really boring to begin with. It seemed like the opening to that game was way too long. And then I still had my save open. I remember where I got to. I thought I'd jump back in, give it a go. And my God, Gears 4 is such a slog. And didn't I didn't complete. And then I was listening to, I can't remember which podcast, I was listening to some podcast and they mentioned that, hey, Gears 5 has a handy video that just shows you all the stuff that happened in Gears 4. It gives you the cliff notes. There you go. You're fine. Go play. So I just did that. And my God, Gears 5 is the best argument to not only get Game Pass right now, but to get Ultimate Game Pass or Game Pass Ultimate, whatever you want to call it. Okay.
And what I didn't mention last week was that the get loads of Game Pass blooming cheap seems that that little trick on PC still seems to be working, Kev. So yes. I had Xbox Live Gold out until September 2020, I think, and I managed to get everything up to that point at the discounted rate for Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, they did the same with Xbox. If you bought a load of, because they've done an offer just after E3, they went, hey, you can have Xbox got Ultimate for $1, £1, wherever you are in the country, in the world. And they did the same recently, but they went, okay, you get 2 months for $2 or £2. And then if you bought loads and loads of credit beforehand and then applied the offer, it would exchange it all. And that I don't know if that's intentional, but it's brilliant. that was great. And one of the things I really liked about it as well, because they had, and the only reason I went for, I updated my Ultimate, not because of the offer, it was because of Gears of War 5. They went, if you've got Game Pass, you get Gears of War 5. Or sorry, Gears 5, as it's now called. If you get Game Pass Ultimate, you get the Ultimate Edition of Gears 5. That's yes. Such a brilliant idea. I was well in for that.
And 4 days before release as well.
4 days before, which I did not take advantage of, but I should have.
Yep. It's really, really a good deal. And, you know, I think the problem is there's so much stuff that's going to be competing for my time. Looking at you, Borderlands 3, which we'll talk about quickly in a minute, but also, of course, Shadowkeep, Destiny 2. You lucky, lucky chaps have got a fun week the 1st of October when I talk about that.
Looking forward to it.
Get your comfy pillow out, Tim, because you're going to be doing a lot of sleep in that episode. I'm just trying to work out when I'm going to find time. It might end up being an Extra Life game for me.
Well, they just added Jump Force to Game Pass today as well, so I'm really excited to be playing that. Game Pass is really good. If you have a PC or if you have...
It's like, insanely good value.
If Xbox One is your main console and you don't have Game Pass, like, you are really sleeping on something cool.
You More are being so than, a dumb.
Like, when I got my PS3 probably the year before PS4 came out, and it was only because I bought a Vita on the super cheap and then went, well, I really want to get PlayStation Plus, but it doesn't seem worth it unless I have a PS3. So I went out and bought a PS3 because I felt like I shouldn't be sleeping on this kind of deal. Really, Game Pass just kind of blows all that out of the water. Really, I wish that PlayStation would just steal it.
Wait till you get your PC going as well, pal. That's exactly, all I'm going to say.
Hey, my PC will be mainly for video and audio and stuff, but I really wish PlayStation would just steal the idea and go, here you go, PlayStation Game Pass. Have at it, lads.
It's so good. Outer Worlds is coming out on Game Pass.
That's a cracking game.
Next month or whatever. Sorry, Outer Wilds already came out. I'm on about the Outer Worlds, which is the... whatchamacallit? Obsidian.
Like, until
RPG,
that point, I was tempted to go pick that up on the Switch so I can take it out and about with me, but it's on Game Pass. Stuff it. I'll go Xbox then.
Yeah, totally. I actually ended up, every year at this sort of maybe August, September time, I write a list out of games I need to seriously consider buying that I'm interested in. And this year I had to double check that list against what's coming out on Game Pass, because there's about three or four that I really want that are just coming out on Game Pass and I don't have to spend any more money on them.
During Gamescom, they released the new Devil May Cry 5 on Game Pass. That game came out in what?
On the console Game Pass at the moment.
Yeah, even so. I mean, at that point, I was barely using my Xbox, and then they just went, here you go, Devil May Cry. I was like, oh, gee, thanks, Xbox.
That was what? Was that like a February, March game?
March, April, I think.
Because that came out this year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's such good value. And on PC, anyone who's complaining about, oh, I have to download another launcher, like, this one is worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Anyway, this turned from a review of Gears of War 5 to Game Pass.
But I think that's a lot of their idea at the moment in this generation, though.
It seems like they're setting something up with this platform. With this and also this year, the Forza Horizon 4, was it 4 or 5?
4.
The England one. 4, okay. With this and Forza Horizon 4, like, there's some really good reasons to be getting Game Pass for Xbox exclusives and then all the other stuff that comes along with that. Gears of War 5.
How much is that a month at the moment as well?
It's £15 a month for the Ultimate, but if you take advantage of the deal that's still going on, like, I think I got like a year for a tenner or something. It was something really cheap.
Does that include gold, or do you need gold to get that as well?
It upgrades from gold to Ultimate.
Mm. So, if you want Xbox Game Pass on its own without any kind of gold, then that's $7.99 a month. If you want the Ultimate, then that's $10.99 a month. But they are still doing 2 months of £2.
Yeah. No, I would make it. It's well worth it.
Wowzers. Yeah, I think I might have to jump on that. Well, it's still a good price.
And then we can play some Gears 5.
Huzzah!
I think Phil Spencer was the one who said it, and he made a really good point about, you know how you always end up in this situation where you and your friends, you're not really sure what you want to play in and who owns what and, you know, this, that, and the other. And with Game Pass, you always know that if a new game, a co-op game, or a, you know, competitive game comes out on Game Pass, you all have access to it instantly.
Yeah.
It's something you can rely on because everyone has it.
I mean, we once made a WWE game that was marred with technical issues, but the only reason we made it is because the game came out on Games with Gold. And I was like, now is my chance. Yeah. But yeah, Gears 5, absolutely brilliant. Looks great. It's really fun to play. The story is much better than 4.
Way better than 4. And I actually think it's my favourite story campaign of the entire lot. Personally.
I'm thinking, I don't know, 2 is probably up there still as my favourite.
It depends where you land. I really love the Gears sort of setting in canon.
To me, Gears of War is Dom screaming, "Where's my wife?" While chainsawing people.
I will say, on that note...
And then later chainsawing his wife. Spoiler alert.
On that note, there are a couple of absolutely brutal moments in the Gears 5 campaign.
Yes.
And what I love about that series, and this has happened throughout it all, is that it's so hyper-masculine in like this incredibly comical way that when one of those really solemn moments hits, it hits me like a ton of bricks. I don't know about everyone else. But there's a couple of moments in Gears 5, specifically one towards the end, where the game almost writes a check. I'm not sure the sequel's going to be able to cash, but we'll see. Where I was just like, wow, that's an absolute gut punch.
I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah. You'll know it when you get there.
I'm gonna sell it to you two as well for people that have also played, you know, the original Gears of War games and haven't got to this point. Although Dan has, but all right, I'm selling it to you, Tim. Sod it. Bard is still not in your main team. He's off on the side. And Cole Train is in your team. So there you go. There's your two main selling factors.
Fair enough.
Right,
fair
okay.
enough. Now, we probably ought to, since time is a ticking, we probably ought to just quickly touch on Borderlands 3, which I'll play more of this
How many
week
magic we'll tricks? About
more stuff next week.
Oh, there is actually one.
How many magic there is one. So it's Borderlands 3. We all know that's been very hyped, etc., etc. Next big thing to happen in the Borderlands universe. You go to many planets, not just one. And there's a usual cast of zany characters, etc., etc., etc.
And David and Samantha.
Yes, no, no, none of those, sadly.
And
which
Troy
is a disappointment
Baker,
to
but
me.
Not.
But I think,
but not definitely not.
Kind of, yeah, definitely not. I think the way I would describe this is more Borderlands 2.5. It's
what
more Borderlands. If you like Borderlands...
No, that was Borderlands 1.75, surely.
Oh, God, I'm all over the place now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, but not quite as many annoying characters. There's a lot of streamlining of the underlying systems in the game. It's a lot easier to pick up kind of menial bits of loot, like ammo and dosh. That now happens immediately. You don't have to talk to people to turn in missions anymore, which is a very welcome thing. and it's been kind of given a bit of a lick of paint. There's more variety in the weapons it will generate as part of its gazillion bazillion guns. But it, at the end of the day, is just more Borderlands. And if you like Borderlands, you're going to like this. The writing, I would say, is showing its age in terms of
meme culture.
It's just getting a little bit cringy
it's
now.
It's hard work.
It really is.
See, from the kind of... I've done some shopping around and looking around on this game, because there seems to have been a lot of negativity going into this game before its release, and for good reason, you know, CEOs of certain companies. And it's been represented pretty badly. But then on the released product, you either seem to be in a camp of, oh my God, this is terrible, look how derivative these references are, and the gameplay is exactly the same, and there's not really much difference made to it in a world where we've innovated on this kind of design. But then on the other side of the camp is, I love Borderlands, and I got more Borderlands. I asked for more Borderlands, I got more Borderlands. If you are crapping on Borderlands, it's because you don't like Borderlands. What did you expect? It's more Borderlands. Kev, you are Big Red Barrel's foremost expert on Borderlands. Where do you lie?
I guess I am, yeah.
Yeah. So, come on, give us your rundown of Borderlands 3. How are you finding it?
Oh, much like Dan said, like I mean, I'm the guy who was playing Borderlands 2 not 6 months ago for a complete second playthrough of a certain character. Probably my 15th playthrough overall. Possibly more than that, actually. But yeah, as someone who was playing Borderlands 2 6 years after it got released, the quality of life improvements in Borderlands 3 are absolutely astounding. As someone who came from recently playing Borderlands 2, a lot of people haven't played Borderlands 2 since 2012, and I think they're the ones who are noticing, hey, this hasn't really come far enough, has it? Whereas me, having played the same game for 6 years, I was just like, yeah, this is a huge step up. But I can see where they're coming from. It's, at the end of the day, there's a lot about Borderlands, right? There's so much context that you've got to weave into it when it comes to slating your opinion. It's impossible to ignore the Randy Pitchford stuff, and that's just very unfortunate. It's impossible to get around.
To be fair, though, it's given us some great content.
Sure, yeah. there's the whole people on PC going to the Borderlands 2 forums on Steam and having an absolute go at them because it came out on the Epic Store. There's so much going on around it that it's difficult to actually parse where people are giving their opinions on the actual game itself rather than the surrounding kerfuffle. But for me, it's what I needed. It was more Borderlands. They haven't gone in the direction of live service like Division, Destiny, etc., which I don't think anyone wanted Borderlands to be that. Have they gone far enough on getting the mechanics up to the date of 2019? Probably not. But as someone who loves loot shooters or, you know, loot games and just wants to get in with friends and kill a bunch of stuff, get better numbers, kill a bunch more stuff, get better numbers. Oh, that's not hard anymore. Increase the difficulty, kill a bunch of stuff, get better numbers. That loop is still as consistent as it ever was and arguably a lot tighter now. I think one thing Dan didn't say, but I really think is worth noting about this game is that Borderlands 1 and 2 always felt a little bit floaty in its shooting mechanics. And I know that was always an issue with Dan because we should try and get him from Destiny to go back to Borderlands. He'd be like, I've played Destiny now. I can't play Borderlands. It's too floaty. Borderlands 3, I think, really has tightened that stuff up. Not to the extent of Destiny, obviously, but, you know, tightened it up enough that it's a much better experience for that. It's a massive game length expansion pack for Borderlands 2 with the best quality of life patch attached to it that I've ever seen in a video game.
It's like the ye olde days of PC, MMO and stuff. It's an expansion pack that is the same price as the full game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people are going off on one about this, but 7 years later you should have gone far further, and yet Titan Quest recently got an expansion pack, and that's like a 13-year-old game.
Battleborn.
Yeah. Now, people riff on Battleborn, but I really enjoyed Battleborn.
Yeah, and how is it today? Oh, it shut down.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm glad someone did.
No one wanted to play it. There was a good game in Battleborn.
I played it for half an hour and it crashed on me and I got really upset and didn't play it again. And I only played it because they gave us some cards.
Yeah. So I'm by no means a Gearbox Software apologist. So in fact, I'm quite the opposite. I'm among their harshest critics for the most part. But I love Borderlands. I do wish that they went in different directions with the design, but at some point you've just got to accept that that's the game it is, and whether you're going to get enjoyment out of it is entirely down to you. I can't stand the writing for the most part, but conversely, I really like the story arc. So it's actually quite difficult to reconcile that I like the story, but I don't like the people that talk through the story.
Don't like, yeah, the individual writing and the characters, but you like the progression of the story overall, and yeah, and how that goes. I can see that.
I have a semi-nerdy Borderlands question for you, Kev.
Uh-huh.
Assuming you played a fair bit of this game. So Gearbox, they like to kind of lay the groundwork in previous games and let it pay off in further games, and you know, see how that plays out into something that manifests into a bigger joke, like the, you know, Claptrap. People didn't like Claptrap, so they put even more Claptrap and made it even more annoying in the second one. The diamond unicorn thing that then appears
Butt
in
Stallion.
Tales of the Borderland. Sorry, Butt Stallion. There's a big payoff for that in Tales of the Borderland.
And in the last expansion for Borderlands 2 as well, in the Tiny Tina DLC. He fed it iridium and it out guns.
With that in mind, do we have a gun that fires guns?
Yeah.
Hey! We did it, guys!
You don't get it until the end of the game, but it takes iridium, which is the purple stuff you pick up, as ammo, and one iridium fires out 10 random guns.
Okay, there we go. We did it, guys. Gearbox are back.
Yeah.
Well done. But I mean, I think for the moment, it's, if you like Borderlands, you'll like this. If you're on the fence, you probably can sit on this until the end of the year, where you're going to be able to pick it up for much less money than you are at the moment.
It's always struck me that Borderlands in general, and seems to be maintaining the case, that it's always been a very enjoyable average game.
I couldn't disagree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, highly enjoyable even. You know, but yeah, like in that kind of context. And that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, as you say, it is what it is, and you either accept it for what it is and move on.
I've got a couple of hypotheticals if there's a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
With the kind of negativity this game's got for not being so innovation, cutting edge type thing, if this had come out around about the time that Handsome Jack Collection came out, do you think this would have been received better?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Also, because I keep thinking, you know, the previous games are out on the 360. Why is there not a Switch port? Do you think if there's not so much innovation that people say, could this feasibly be a Switch port?
Because I think the graphics part of it, like all of the engine-based stuff, has come quite a long way. To reiterate that, Dan and I were talking earlier while we were playing it that we've both had to put it to medium graphic settings,
right,
because otherwise you start getting quite a lot of frame drops.
Okay.
And to put this into, you know, it's a very poorly optimized game at the moment. And I think a lot of that is due...
I've heard that too. Near unplayable consoles, I heard recently.
Yes, it's worth noting actually that the console versions, I haven't played them, but as I understand it from a few first-hand accounts, they are absolutely unplayable.
My rig is a... So admittedly a couple of generations old. It's a Intel Core i7 with four physical
you absolute
cores,
pauper.
Eight virtual cores.
It's no i9,
oh,
is it?
I know,
though?
Right? And an RTX 2080, and yet I can't, you know, I've had to dump a number of settings to medium just to get the frame rate consistently above 60 frames a second. And, you know, I don't wish to sound like too much of a dick. Well, no more of a dick than
have
usual.
A go.
But, you know, that is not a bare-bones PC by any stretch of the imagination. And it should be absolutely rinsing the frame rate on that, but it isn't.
It's the kind of poor optimization that isn't even affected by throwing horsepower at it, because I'm on a 1070 graphics card.
Not Stallion.
Dan's on a 2080. So Dan's actually got a way more powerful graphics card, but we get very similar performance. And I think that's because it's not actually down to how much horsepower you throw at it. It's just poorly optimized. it doesn't know what to do with the resources.
I think there's some weird bottlenecks in the system. I think it's probably... it may well just be CPU limited, perhaps. But yeah, it's very... It doesn't feel... A number of areas where it should be polished, it isn't. And there's a number of weird things like tutorial prompts not working properly, for example. There's other odd glitches. DirectX 12 on the PC is an absolute no-no. It just absolutely tanks and crashes.
Yeah, you've got to use DX 11.
And there's just one or two bits which are... It's a little confusing as to why it's in that unpolished state. And I'm kind of surprised it is, to be honest with you.
There's nothing game-breaking in there.
I mean, there's a lot...
But it's little thing. It's kind of death by a thousand cuts at some point, right?
But, you know, it's some Borderlands-ass Borderlands.
To be clear, for the criticism we lay at it, I'm having an absolutely great time with it.
Good.
Oh, I'm very... It is a wonderful bit of... You know, the way I would describe it is... It's like popcorn, I would say. It's the video game equivalent of popcorn. It's done.
I took Dan earlier to do a quest where he got his first rocket launcher that fires poo. And it irradiates people.
Loved it. By having an excellent gag reflex.
Well, I mean, I'm not sold on Borderlands 3 to be my first big Borderlands to get into, but I do have the Handsome Collection, so I'm more sold into going back and revisiting 2, and then if I get into it, then going for 3 after it's probably been patched a bit on consoles.
Yeah, and 2, as honestly, I was thinking about this if I were
also,
to finish...
Also, 2's on Games with Gold, by the way.
It is, yeah. When I get to the point where I finish my first playthrough of Borderlands 3, there's a part of me that kind of wants to go back and play 2 again. Just because there's so much content in 2 now. If you've got the Handsome Jack collection, what you've got there is the entire full game, which is a 30-hour campaign anyway, plus like 2 additional difficulties after that that increase the loot and whatnot. Then you've got like 7 expansions for it. It's a mental... There's a reason I've been playing it for 6 years. There's so much content in it.
I think the reason why we won't get the Handsome collection on the Switch is because... You know, on PS Plus, we've had the Handsome Collection. On Games with Gold, we've had the Handsome Collection. On Game Pass, we have the Handsome Collection.
Yeah.
Like, what? If there goes on Switch, it's 50 quid minimum.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm more likely to pick up the VR version. Shut up, Tim. The next time that goes on sale. Well, that's got all the DLC from 2.
Yeah, I know, but so do all the versions.
I'm a
PSVR
so,
customer myself, but even I say shut up, Tim.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I think we probably ought to start wrapping stuff up there because, Tim, you do need to remind us that Tuesday's a Tuesday.
Does he have to say it like
Indeed.
That?
Indeed. And, yeah, anyone that doesn't know, each
no,
every Tuesday.
Tuesday
every when?
We do an event.
Every when?
Tuesday.
No, every...
I'm not... No. No.
Tuesday.
Each and every Tuesday, we do an event in the loading bar in Dalston called Tabletop Tuesday. And we have a different feature game each and every week. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. This week's game is a little game called Dwarven Beer Fest, amongst our loose theme of this month of great little games. This is going to be an ideal suiting for that. It's kind of, you know, fantasy-based game in a sort of a bar pub type thing. But
if
yeah,
you have enough to drink, any
well.
Visit to a bar or pub can be that experience as well.
Yes. and yeah, this should be a good one for the event. There'll be more details up on the top left-hand corner of bigbreadbarrel.com. And you can also search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com and join over 1,800 members there. Also, the other reason that I'm particularly doing it this week as well, I will mention that they've got a newish version. It's kind of a version with a few extra bits of this game currently up on Kickstarter as well, so you can go check that out as well.
That is Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London on the 24th of September. Be there or don't play Dwarven Beer Fest, which you should do at Tabletop Tuesday at Loading Bar in Dalston on the 24th of September.
But also coming up in the not too distant future is EGX 2019, which is back in London. That's going to be going from the 17th to the 20th of October. I'm not going to be there because I'm turning 40 that weekend.
Well, why don't you come for your birthday?
Because my family might want to see me.
All right. What if we get you a ticket as because you're a friend for your birthday and then get you completely, utterly smashed?
No.
Why not?
No, why not?
Have you ever met a Dan before?
I've met Dan many a times, twice at least.
I'm just gonna wallow in misery of turning 40.
Kev, are you turning 40?
Not for another 4.5 years.
Are you going to Show EGX? Off.
Wowzers!
Sorry,
are you going to EGX?
I'm not. No, I didn't.
Okay, so me and Tim will be at EGX. Yeah, it's back in London. That is why we are celebrating, because as much as we love the beautiful city of Birmingham, it is a pain in the ass to get to from
why
London
I stopped
and
going.
Quite a long travel. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was literally it was in your lower back, really, wasn't it, Kev, rather than all in your ass, but that was.
But no, it's back in London, and unfortunately the Earls Court no longer exists, so it is in the Excel Centre, which is a beautiful venue. They use it for the MGM Comic Cons and many other things, I'm assuming, but that's the only thing I ever go to. It's going to be fun. Me and Tim are going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of other people from Big Red Barrel as well, some new people, some old people. Let's go and write about video games and play video games and talk about video games and probably maybe drink some lemonades together.
Can I just add a last minute news item in here? Because this is actually quite cool. I know it's unprecedented, but on the Epic Store right now, if you're not taking advantage of the free games every week that they give out, then you're missing out. But this week, apparently, it's just gone up. They've got the entire Batman trilogy and all three Lego Batman games for free if you get it this week.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So 6 Batman games for free.
And goddamn Batman.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just register.
I mean, if
account,
I didn't own them all already.
Well, but now you can own them all over
on
again.
On PC, yeah. Also, Narcos Rise of the Cartels will be a new tie-in video game to the Netflix series releasing in Q4 2019.
Crazy.
On Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. There you go. Did all the news now.
There you go. Done.
Excellent.
No more news.
Well, I think we really need to wrap up because time's rapidly ticking away. Coleman needs to web at the show. My cat is going absolutely insane immediately outside my door. So it only remains for us to say thank you to some kind people on Twitter, namely the D20 Future Show, Neil Aitken and Matt. And from the Facebook section on Facebook's, big thank you to Freya Goddard. Hello. Hi.
Can you just say Aitken again?
Aitken.
Ah, it was funnier the first time. Carry on. Aitken.
Yes. Good. So, there we go.
Good.
But that's your lot.
Thank you.
That's all right. That's us done for another week. In the meantime, you lot should go and head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or bigredbarrel.stuff.net or whatever.
Stuff.net.
Things are going on behind the scenes. We will try and have an update soon.
Yes.
Yes. Kev.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kev.
You are our font of knowledge of Borderlands and other things, but we love you anyway, and you can drop by any time because we miss you.
Well, maybe just come back when there's a Dark Souls or something.
Yeah, when there's a Souls game or a loot game.
Well, no. Code Vein's out in like a week. You should probably come back and talk about another Souls-like.
But thanks for joining us, Kev.
You are more than welcome. It's been
a pleasure. It was tolerable. It was tolerable.
Always
thank
tolerable.
You.
We look forward to hearing you on the next Big Red Barrel cast.
Yeah,
indeed. Whenever that may or may
VRB?
Not be.
VRB?
No. VRB?
Okay. Is it Kev's Inverse Midas Touch of podcasts? So anyway, before we're the next victims, let's all go.
Yes.
So, So thanks, Kev, once again for showing up. And I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'm really sorry, but I've been Coleman.
We're sorry too.
I was Kev.
Right, so that's your lot. Thank you for downloading us. We're going away now. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.